Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on Sunday, March 5th, 2017. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson. So we just read three scripture passages, as we've been doing lately, and they're more closely related than usual. So I just want to spell that out real quick to show that to you. In Genesis 2, the first man is given one command, only one. And in Genesis 3, he breaks that one command. And the story that the Bible tells is that because of that breaking of that one commandment, death entered the human race, because by sinning, humanity separated itself from God, and God is the source of life. And so this came about in part because Adam was tempted by Satan. Jesus too would be tempted by Satan. But in the words of one scholar, where Adam disobeyed God and followed Satan, Jesus obeyed God and sent Satan away. So this story of Jesus' victory over Satan's temptation is what we see in Matthew chapter 4. The Romans reading, for its part, makes a direct comparison between Adam and Christ. And Paul says that Adam foreshadows the man who was to come, that is Christ. But it's more than that. It's more than God just putting humans back on track in Christ. It's that God has done far, far more good in Christ for humanity than Adam did bad for humanity. Christ does so much more than just avoid evil. Christ is obedient in every way. And not just in managing to stay within the boundaries that God has set up, but also by being faithful to the work that God has given him to do, which is initiating the kingdom of God with his presence and his death. So hang with me here for a second. Here is our goal: to be faithful to the work that God has given us. And so that we can avoid the traps that come our way in life, I want to just briefly consider this morning how temptation works. And particularly that temptation that comes from the tempter, the devil. We don't like to talk about the devil, do we? Because, well, for a lot of reasons, but the devil doesn't really fit in with our modern worldview. But the great and frequently quoted by me, C.S. Lewis, said that in the preface of his Screwtape Letters, he says that there are two equal and opposite errors that we can have when it comes to demonic forces. One is to disbelieve their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So we want to be somewhere in the middle. So if you have trouble wrapping your head around the devil, just think of it this way. Just as there's an entity behind everything good, God, the entity behind evil is the devil. So in our baptismal covenant as United Methodists, we don't mention the devil specifically, but we do renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, and we reject the evil powers of this world. And then even in the Lord's Prayer itself, we pray, deliver us from evil, and you know, that's a good prayer, but the Greek text of Matthew 6, 13, where that phrase comes from, actually says, deliver us from the evil one, that is, the devil. So the devil is real, but fear not. He's evil, but he's really not all that powerful. And when I wrote that sentence, I started to wonder, like, how would I react if the devil showed up in the room with me right now? And just then, something leapt into the chair next to me, and I turned and I said, "Be gone!" And the cat was like, "What are you doing?" I don't know, maybe Satan fled the cat at that time. So Scripture, though, gives us the enemy's playbook. And so we can, one, know what's coming. We can, two, know what the tricks are. And we can, three, have a strategy to counter them. So I just want to take those points one by one. First, we got to understand temptation is not the same thing as sin. It's a really important distinction. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet he didn't sin. Temptation is simply to consider your own ability to do something that's outside of God's will. Doing evil or sinning, on the other hand, is actually doing what is against God's will. I say it like that because God only wills what is good. And so whatever God doesn't will is evil. So anytime God gives us a command, the possibility for temptation arises. But more specifically, when is temptation most likely? Let's look at that story of Jesus again. When does he get assaulted by Satan? It's immediately following his baptism. There's that voice that comes from heaven and said, "This is my son." And the Spirit descends on him. And so in his baptism, Jesus was given a confirmation of his identity. And seeing as he immediately begins his ministry after he leaves that wilderness fasting period for 40 days, I think it's safe to say that Jesus was also given a sense of his vocation, his job, why he was here. So my point is that Jesus was about to embark on this journey. He was going to do the most important ministry that anyone has ever done. So that's when Satan attacks, when the potential for doing good is the highest. When we're not doing good, Satan can just sit back and let us think he doesn't exist. There's not anything to battle against. But as soon as that possibility of a real good arises, he has to strike. So anytime there's a potential for good, there's also a potential for evil. Okay, so that's what's coming. So we can prepare ourselves for that. In our humanity, we will be tempted. And the temptation will be strongest when we're able to do the most good. All right, so next, let's look at the playbook. What are the tricks that the devil uses to tempt us? What are the first words that the devil says to Jesus? "If you are the Son of God..." A voice from heaven just said, "You are my son." But the devil wants Jesus to doubt his God-given identity. The devil wants us, the devil wants you to doubt your God-given identity. And so even though Jesus is God's son in a special and unique way, every person who is baptized is declared to be a child of God. And that's something that has to be received in faith. And you know, all the most important things in life require faith. But if something requires faith, then it's also open to being doubted. So trick number one, the devil will tempt you to doubt your God-given identity. Prepare yourselves for that. You belong to God. Please believe that. You know, I heard someone say recently that the devil wants us to believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. But that the opposite is true with God. God wants us to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Let's jump back into that Genesis story. Another one of the devil's jobs is to cast doubt on God's word. In chapter 2, God tells the man, "You may eat freely of every tree in the garden." And then the devil, through the snake, says, "Did God really say, don't eat from any tree in the garden?" And then You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's this half-truth, right? Their eyes will indeed be opened, but all they're going to see is their own nakedness. And they're going to be blinded to the spiritual reality that God had something better for them. So back in Jesus' temptations, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he's really hungry. And he's not actually the only person in the Bible that fasted for 40 days, by the way. We've got at least Moses and Elijah, who both fasted around Mount Sinai. In fact, I actually know two people that fasted during Lent the whole time. They had broth, so it wasn't completely fasting, but it was starvation, essentially. So hunger brings temptation. And I think that is part of the reasons why Christians fast, actually. It's to train themselves to be able to withstand temptation. I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, my temptation is to get hangry. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
When Jesus is hungry, his temptation is to make bread out of rocks. Sounds crazy. But do we doubt he could have done it? But Jesus' overarching temptation is to abuse his God-given power for personal ends, rather than for the purposes of God. And Jesus knows that God is not a divine butler. God is not there to serve the Son, but Jesus would say the Son is there to serve his Father. Finally, let's talk about how we deal with temptation. In Jesus' temptations, the devil doesn't simply lie and, you know, just plain and clear. It's, you know, the devil's quoting scripture. And so we can't get around the reality that in order to withstand temptations, we have to get to know scripture, plain and simple. So how do we do that? Well, I can think of at least three ways. One is you come to church and you hear it. And hearing it can be very helpful and good. And the more you come, the better. Studying it with other Christians can be really helpful too. So we take advantage of things like Sunday school and Bible study. But one of the best things that you can do to withstand temptation is to spend time daily with Scripture. And it's really hard for me. Sometimes I feel like a broken record, but it's hard for me to stress how important this is. The devil quotes scripture out of context, but Jesus quotes places in response where Israel faced temptation in the wilderness. You know, being able to quote scripture isn't enough. We need to understand its shape, and we need to understand God's character. And so I made a couple of reading plans for Lent that you could still jump on if that interests you. They're on the blog at lansdowneumc.org. One will get you through the New Testament, another will through the Gospel of John. One takes about 5 minutes, the other takes about half an hour a day. So check that out if you're interested. And I know there are people who have difficulty reading the Bible, and it can be really hard at times. Let's just be clear about that. But in general, people find that the more that they read it, the clearer it becomes. And if reading it yourself is difficult, you know, for sight or for other reasons, I want you to know that you can actually go find audio Bibles online. You can go to Bible Gateway, for example, and they've got quite a few options. But the temptation, if you will, is to think you can't do it for one reason or another. And so the second critical way that we endure temptation is to pray. Jesus teaches us, deliver us from the evil one. That's the Lord's Prayer. And all of this feeds into what is just the absolute best way to avoid temptation or to avoid falling into temptation. That's a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Fasting and prayer always go together in Scripture, so we can be sure that when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was praying that he wouldn't fall into the temptations. So we're here on this first Sunday of Lent, and we're just taking a second to pause and to consider the temptations that we face in our own lives. And as we face those temptations, we know that we have a Savior who knows everything we're going through and who has shown us the way to endure. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We come to the communion table hoping to receive the presence of Christ, the strength that we need to get through this week, to get through this season. Jesus gives us everything we need. So come hungry and come expectant and be filled. Amen.